My name sounded beautiful when he said it. Care to join in? He tossed the ball to me, and thanks to my natural reflexes, I caught it without a second thought. Sure, I said, flashing him what I hoped was a flirty smile. Yes, that sounds great. Perfect, he said, smiling right back at me. I claim you for my team. I bounced over to him, and he took the ball back from me, his hands brushing mine. Warmth flooded my body, as if his touch had filled me with pure, white energy. Have you ever played before? He asked. Standing so close to me that I could smell the same delicious sweetness in his breath that had been in the flapper lady's smoke. I wished he would kiss me so I could taste that same sweetness on his lips. But I couldn't kiss someone I'd just met. Could I? I stepped back, trying to organize my thoughts into something somewhat coherent. No, I haven't played before, I said, smiling at him and tossing my hair over my shoulder. It was something Danielle always did when she was flirting. It worked for her, so I might as well try it too. But I do play tennis, and I'm pretty good at sports. I'm sure I'll have no problem picking it up. Sounds like a fun challenge, he said. Since you're a newbie, I'm sure that Rachel will have no problem going 2-on-1. He grinned and stepped back, tossing the ball into the air and serving it across the net. Game on. I watched his perfect form and the way he smiled at me. And it was like I was in my own personal part of heaven. I could imagine staying here on this island with him forever. Chapter 20. I lost track of how long we played volleyball. All I knew was that Rachel beat us, and that I could barely pay attention to the game because everything about Ethan was so ridiculously distracting. I wondered if he was equally as distracted by me, too. I doubted it, but it didn't hurt to dream. It was a blast, he said once the game was over. Now I just want to collapse in the sand and do nothing for the rest of the day. That sounds tempting. I smiled and then plopped down right in the middle of the volleyball court. Come join me. Ethan tossed the ball over the net and dove down next to me, spraying sand all over me. I laughed, shaking it out of my hair and onto him. I'm going for a swim, Rachel called over to us. See you both later. Bye, we called back, waving to her as she ran out to the ocean. Now it was just me and Ethan, lying together on the sand. He was watching me with so much intensity in his clear blue eyes that I nearly forgot to breathe. With the bongos playing out in the distance and the waves lapping on the shore, this moment was so incredibly perfect. I wouldn't want to be here with anyone but him. Water? He asked, handing over a bottle. Thanks. I sipped from it, needing to cool off after the game. The water was the most incredible thing I'd ever tasted. Sweet, like the smoke from the flapper lady's pipe. This is amazing, I said, taking a few more sips. A drop fell down my chin, and I caught it and licked it off my finger, not wanting to waste a single bit of it. Save some for me. He winked and snatched back the bottle, taking a few gulps. I reached for it to finish whatever was left, frowning when I realized it was empty. There's plenty more where that came from. He pried it from my hand, letting it fall to the ground. We'll get some later. For now, let's just hang here, together. Okay. I smiled and twisted a strand of my hair around my finger, liking the sound of spending more time with Ethan. This was the most perfect day ever. I vaguely recalled something I'd wanted to ask him before. What was it? I tried to search my mind for it, but everything felt so hazy. Oh well, it must not have been important. I'm glad you're here, Nicole, he said, putting his arm around me and pulling me close. His skin glistened with sweat, and it rubbed off on me. But I didn't care. Even his sweat smelled delicious. You're going to be fun to have around. I can tell. I smiled, my heart beating a million times a minute. The way he said it, in his perfect accent, made me believe that it was true, too. That was what I wanted to ask him about, his accent. Where are you from? I looked up at him and tilted my head, resting it on his shoulder. England?
No,
he laughed, as if the question were silly.
I'm not British.
Where then? I asked. Because you're definitely not American. No one in America talks like you.
You like my accent?
He asked. Yes, I smiled. I do. Is it Irish? Scottish?
No.
He shook his head and scrunched his eyebrows, as if it were taking him effort to remember where he was from.
Australian.
Wow, I said. I've never been there.
Most people haven't.
He shrugged and looked out over the ocean, his eyes distant, as if he were searching for an answer he couldn't find. How'd you get here all the way from Australia? I asked.
It's a long story.
He ran his fingers through my hair, untangling the knots I'd gotten while playing volleyball.
I'm sure you would find it boring. Especially compared to all the fun we can have here.
I doubt I could find anything about you boring, I said. I could listen to you talk forever.
Forever?
He raised an eyebrow.
I doubt that.
It's true, I laughed. So, tell me, how did you get to this island? You're wearing normal clothes, so I guess you got here recently, right?
It feels like I got here yesterday.
He trailed, his eyes going distant again.
Maybe it was a few days ago, or a week. I'm not sure. My sister and I went on a gap year program, and Greece was one of our stops. We were jet skiing, and we ended up here. The island is paradise, and our tour group will be in Greece for 3 weeks. So we figured it couldn't hurt to stay for a bit.
The people who live here are fine with that? I asked. They don't make you pay or anything?
We go on rotations to gather more lotus, but that's all, he said. Anyone who wants to stay is welcome. I'm sort of hoping.
His cheeks flushed, and he looked down at his hands, twisting them together. You're hoping what? I held my breath, hoping he was about to say what I thought he might. He raised his eyes to meet mine, trapping me in his clear blue gaze.
I'm hoping that you'll stay here too.
The butterflies exploded in my chest all over again. I think I might, I said, excitement flooding my veins at the thought of it. Everything is just so stressful back at home. There's this portal that's weakening, and all of these monsters are escaping. And I'm supposed to be able to handle it, but I'm only a teenager. And I recently found out that my bio dad is a god. How crazy is that?
No way,
Ethan smiled.
My dad's a god too.
Really? I asked. Which one is he?
Zeus,
he said, sitting straighter.
King of the sky, the leader of the Olympians. But he's only talked to me and Rachel once. Pretty lame parenting, if you ask me.
Yeah, I huffed, blowing some pieces of my hair off my face. At least that's better than my dad, Apollo. I've never met him. He's left me a present and a note, but that's it. It's like he's afraid to talk to me or something.
He's lost.
Ethan leaned closer to me, and my cheeks flushed at the realization of how close his lips were to mine.
By not knowing you, he's missing out on something pretty great.
Then he kissed me, and he tasted so sweet that I never wanted the kiss to end. He pulled me closer in his arms. I'd felt safer than I had since first coming to Kinsley. Here, on this island, with Ethan, everything felt so right. A few people behind us hooted and clapped, and their support made me even happier.
I tangled my hands in Ethan's hair, pulling him closer. This island was an incredible place to be. It was like I'd found the family I'd never known I had. I really did want to stay here forever. "Nicole!" someone yelled, and then that someone grabbed my arm, pulling me up and away from Ethan. I looked up at Blake, his eyes swirling with anger, his hands clenched to his sides. But Blake wasn't looking at me. He was looking at Ethan.
"Who are you?"
he asked. His voice was eerily calm, as if it took everything in him not to kill Ethan on the spot.
"What do you think you're doing to her?"
"Whoa there."
Ethan held his hands up and scooted away. He glanced at me, confused.
"Is this your boyfriend?"
"No," I said bitterly, which was stupid, because it was technically my choice that Blake wasn't my boyfriend. But whatever. I don't have a boyfriend.
"Good,"
Ethan said, standing up to face Blake.
"What's your problem then, man?
Nicole and I were just having a good time." "Yeah." I crossed my arms, sticking my chin in the air. "Ethan and I were bonding because we're both demigods. Isn't that crazy?"
"So when two people find out they're both demigods, the first thing they do is stick their tongues in each other's mouths?"
Blake scoffed.
"Is that some kind of traditional demigod greeting that I'm unaware of?"
I giggled, because as annoying as it was that Blake had forced me and Ethan apart, he was being pretty funny. "No," I said, laughing again and grabbing both of their hands. "We were just having fun. This whole island is fun. I think we should stay here." Blake turned to Ethan, and I stayed between the two of them, still holding both of their hands. I didn't know what was going on between them, but if this was a war, then I would be Switzerland.
"What did you give her?"
Blake asked, his eyes blazing.
"Just a little lotus water."
Ethan picked up the empty bottle and shook it.
"No big deal."
"It's really good," I added. "You should try some."
"No."
Blake stepped closer to me and pushed my hair off my face, his hand cupping my cheek.
"Nicole?"
He said my name slowly, his eyes not leaving mine.
"There was lotus fruit in that water you drank. That's why you're acting like this. This isn't you. You need to focus, okay? Can you do that? For me?"
I glanced over at Ethan, and we both collapsed into giggles. "Stop being so serious," I told Blake, yanking my other hand out of Ethan so I could place it on his chest. "You should have some of that water, too. It'll help you relax."
"We're about to cook some of the fruit by the fire,"
Ethan said.
"You should both try that.
It's even better than the water." Blake's jaw tightened, and he turned to look at Ethan.
"Why don't you go over there first?"
he told him.
"We'll meet you in a few minutes."
"Sure."
Ethan looked back and forth between the two of us, holding out his hands as he backed away.
"Sorry about all of this. I didn't mean to cause any trouble."
"Sure he didn't,"
Blake muttered once Ethan was out of earshot. I looked past Blake, watching Ethan as he joined a large group, smiling and laughing and having fun. Just watching him made me smile, too. I couldn't wait to go over there and join him. Mainly, I just wanted to kiss him again. He was an amazing kisser. My heart melted at the memory of our kiss. It had been broken apart way too soon. "Come on," I said to Blake, pulling him toward the bonfire. "Let's go join them."
"No."
He held me in place, shoving something into my other hand. A water bottle.
"You need to drink this. It'll help you focus."
"Is that the yellow energy water?" I asked, recognizing the bottle. I moved away from it, scrunching my nose. "I don't need that. I need more of the water that Ethan gave me. So do you. Trust me. It's so good."
"It's not energy water,"
Blake said, smiling down at me. He had such a nice smile.
He should smile more often.
It's the same water that Ethan gave you.
I tilted my head, confused. But I thought the energy water was in that bottle.
I emptied it and refilled it with the water from here,
he said, holding it in front of me.
Here, drink.
You first, I said playfully, swatting at his hand. You need it more than I do. He uncapped it and took a sip, his gaze not leaving mine. His eyes blazed with so much intensity that I could barely breathe.
Done,
he said, handing the water bottle to me.
Now, it's your turn.
Greedy for more of the delicious water I'd tasted earlier, I grabbed the bottle from Blake and took a long gulp. But instead of being hit with euphoria, an icy clarity swept through my veins. The fuzzy, relaxed happiness from seconds ago was gone, the world around me now sharper and more defined. I looked out at the ocean, where the sun glowed orange above it, inching closer to the horizon. How was it sunset already? The last I remembered, it was noon. I blinked, thinking back to what had happened. We'd arrived on the island, walked to the drum circle, and the flapper woman had blown smoke into my face. After that, I had no idea what had happened after that. I searched my mind, but it was like trying to remember a dream. The memory slipped through my fingers, like fog. It was so strange, knowing that I'd been living life for the past few hours and not remembering a bit of it. I shuddered and wrapped my arms around myself, feeling violated by my own body. What had I done?
That was yellow energy water, wasn't it? I whispered, even though I already knew the answer.
Blake nodded, not saying a word. I looked back up at him, hoping he could tell me what happened. But the moment my eyes met his, my heart sunk into my stomach. Because seconds ago, I thought his eyes had been intense with desire. Now that my mind was clear, I saw the truth. What I'd seen hadn't been desire. It had been disappointment in me. And I had no idea what I'd done to deserve it. Chapter 21. Why are you looking at me like that? I asked, barely able to get the words out. What happened?
He walked over to my bag. I must have dropped it at the side of the volleyball court at some point, and brought it over.
Still saying nothing, he pulled out my still full bottle of yellow energy and handed it to me.
Drink more, he said. It'll bring your memories back.
He was right. The more water I drank, the less fuzzy my memories became. Once I'd finished half the bottle, I remembered everything. Meeting Ethan, the intense attraction I felt toward him, playing volleyball, wanting to stay on the island forever, and kissing him. I made out with a guy I'd just met, in front of everyone, in front of Blake. I wouldn't blame him if he hated me forever. Blake. My voice cracked when I said his name. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I did that.
It was the water he gave you, he said. There was lotus fruit in it. They put lotus in everything around here. They eat it, they drink it, they smoke it. There's so much lotus in their systems that they exhale it and sweat it. Just being around them is enough to affect someone. We should have drank yellow energy water before stepping foot on the island, instead of just bringing it with us for emergencies.
But you were able to resist it, I said. How?
I went straight to the bonfire with the kids, he said. The rest of you stopped at the drum circle first. They were smoking lotus at the drum circle. I think that being so close to the smoke was enough to make you forget about our mission.
So if you've been unaffected by it this whole time, why didn't you do something sooner? I asked. You were the only one of us who remembered our mission. Now we've wasted hours hanging around here doing nothing.
I wasn't unaffected.
He rubbed his neck, looking out at the ocean.
It's in the air. I was breathing it in too, just not as directly as you all, since you were around the smoke. I didn't realize how much time had passed. I was entertaining the kids by the fire by doing magic tricks for them with my power. Then I saw you over here, kissing that guy.
His jaw hardened, his gaze far off, as if he were seeing it again. I wanted to reach for him, to hold his hand, so he knew it would be okay. But how could I comfort him when I was the one who had hurt him? It wasn't me. I lowered my eyes, too embarrassed to look at him. I mean, technically it was, but it also wasn't. It was like the Lotus made me unaware of any consequences that could happen from what I did. I'm sorry. I know that can't fix it, but I am sorry. And I wish more than anything that I could take back what happened.
Seeing the two of you together made me focus enough to remember to drink the energy water, he said. If you hadn't kissed him, we would probably all still be high on the Lotus, our mission forgotten.
I still wish I hadn't done it, I said, forcing myself to meet his gaze. You have to know that I never would have if I'd been thinking straight.
Well, it's done now, he said,
his eyes hard.
And I've had enough of this island, so let's get the others to drink the energy water. We'll collect the lotus fruit that we need, and then we'll get out of here.
Chapter 22. We approached Danielle first, since Kate and Chris were hanging at the drum circle together, and Danielle was alone with some surfers in the ocean. Of course, she'd picked up on surfing easily and was showing off her powers by getting the waves to dance around her as she surfed. It was like she was Aphrodite rising from the ocean, and the water had taken on a life of its own. Since Blake and I didn't want to tip them off that we weren't under the influence of the Lotus anymore, we had to pretend like we were still having the time of our lives. So, I laughed and clapped as Danielle rowed the board to the beach, tossing my hair and adding in a twirl. Blake also cheered her on, giving her a high five when she reached the shore.
Wasn't that awesome?
Danielle said, her blue eyes sparkling. She squeezed the excess water out of her hair and shook it out, laughing as she spritzed us.
This island is the best place ever.
I want to stay here forever.
I looked at Blake and rolled my eyes. Had I sounded this ditzy when he'd found me with Ethan? Then again, it was entertaining to see Danielle like this. I'd never seen her so happy.
Yeah, I said, trying to mimic her bubbly tone. I even threw in a jump and another clap for emphasis. This place rocks.
Blake chuckled, for real, and I wondered if I'd been too over the top.
Totally rocks, he agreed. So, who are your friends?
That's Finn and Bryn, she squealed, widening her eyes and leaning in closer.
They're twins. Aren't they gorgeous?
One of them, I wasn't sure if he was Finn or Bryn, toweled his hair off and threw his head back like he was a model in a commercial.
I'm starving,
he announced, and by the way he was looking at Danielle, I wondered if he meant he was hungry for food or for her. He strolled up to her, swung his arms around her shoulders, and nuzzled his nose into her ear.
They're cooking up dinner by the fire, he said. Want to come eat with me?
The other twin made his way to Danielle's other side and threw his arm around her too, as if she were the middle of a surfer dude twin sandwich.
You'll love the fruit kebabs, he said. They're to die for.
I was hoping Danielle could show me a move on the board first. I flashed them both a smile, making sure to sound extra bubbly.
It'll only take 5 minutes. We'll meet you guys there.
One of them, Finn or Bryn, smiled back at me, running his eyes up and down my body.
I can show you,
he said, apparently approving of the way I looked.
Want to share a board?
Blake placed his hand on my back in a clear male territorial move. Even though I knew it was just for show, my chest warmed at how much I liked it, and I stepped closer to him.
The only person she'll be sharing a board with is me,
he said, his gaze unwavering as he stared down the twin.
Well, there.
Finn, Bryn, held his hands up and backed away.
Wasn't trying to steal your girl, man, but here on the island, everything belongs to everyone, if you know what I mean.
His brother laughed and gave him a high five.
We certainly don't have a problem with sharing,
he said, pulling Danielle closer so his forehead rested against hers.
Do you?
Is that an offer? She asked, batting her eyelashes at him. If I saw any more, I was going to be sick. I don't need to hear the answer to that, I said. Why don't the two of you go over to the fire first, and we'll meet you there? I'm sure Danielle will be grateful to whoever makes her the best kebab.
Is that a challenge?
The twin on her right said.
I'll take it.
The twin on the left bounded up the beach towards the fire, followed closely behind by his brother.
You like my kebab better than his,
he yelled over his shoulder to Danielle. She giggled and tossed her hair, her cheeks flushing bright pink. I'd never seen Danielle blush, ever. Who was this girl, and what had she done with the snobby witch I'd met when I first moved to Kinsley? Aren't they adorable? She asked, once they were out of earshot. I think I'll take them both. They're just so delicious. You haven't kissed them, have you? I asked. Of course I have. She giggled again, cupping her hands over her mouth. They tasted so sweet. How could I resist? Blake and I shared a look. At least that explained why Danielle was so doped up on Lotus. It must have gotten into her system when she kissed those boys. What? She flipped her hair over her shoulder and placed her hands on her hips, finally reminding me of the Danielle I actually knew. As if we all didn't see you making out with that hot volleyball player on the beach. Blake's hand dropped from my back, and I dug my feet in the sand, pressing my lips together at the reminder of kissing Ethan. Even though it had only happened because of the Lotus, I had a sinking feeling that Blake wouldn't forget about it anytime soon. And I couldn't blame him. If I'd seen him kissing another girl, I would be crushed too. Which I supposed wasn't fair since I was the one distancing myself from him, but it still wouldn't stop me from feeling that way. Sometimes emotions were crazy and unpredictable, and it was impossible to be logical about them, no matter how hard you tried. Anyway, what are we still doing here? Danielle asked. Because I've got two identical hotties waiting for me by the bonfire. She raised her eyebrows and turned on her heel, stepping in the direction of the fire. But Blake reached forward and grabbed her arm, holding her in place.
Wait, he said. We have something for you.
What? She glanced over at where the boys were waiting for her. My kebabs are probably ready by now. Sweetwater. I grabbed the bottle full of yellow energy water and twirled around, presenting it in front of her face. Hopefully my giddiness would distract her from the surfer twins. It's like the smoke from the drum circle and the way the guys here taste, but a million times better. The volleyball guy I met gave me some, and it's so good. You have to try it.
Yeah.
Blake opened it and took a sip.
It's so good. Here, have some.
He thrust the bottle in her face, nodding for her to go on and try it. I did love the taste of those boys. She shrugged, looking at the water. Okay. She brought the bottle to her lips, taking a few sips of the water. At first, she made a face as if it tasted sour. But then her eyes widened and she drank some more. She wiped her mouth, blinking a few times as she focused.
What happened?
She finally said, lowering the bottle and looking out over the ocean.
How is it sunset already? You were under the influence of the Lotus,
Blake said, continuing on to quickly explain everything he told me when I'd first come to.
Drink about half of the energy water, and then you'll remember everything.
She gulped it down in a few seconds.
Where are Chris and Kate?
She asked when she was done. Over by the drum circle, I told her. We're getting them next.
Then we're gathering the lotus fruit and getting out of here,
Blake added.
Sounds like a plan,
Danielle said, marching up the beach to lead the way to the drum circle. We didn't make it far because someone called her name. She stopped to figure out who it was.
Yeah, you, the water goddess.
It was one of the twins, yelling from the bonfire. He held up fruit on a stick, grinning proudly. Then he held the stick in front of his pants and did a little dance that involved moving his hips.
Want a taste of my kebab?
He asked, waggling his eyebrows.
Ew,
Danielle said, crinkling her nose.
I seriously went for that?
Yep, I nodded, laughing at the memory of how happy she'd looked when she'd been squished between the twins.
Yuck.
She shuddered and tossed her hair over her shoulder, turning away from them. Let's hurry up and finish what we came here to do.
Because I need to get off this island.
Chapter 23. We retrieved Kate and Chris the same way we did Danielle, by luring them away from the drum circle with the promise of sweet water that was actually yellow energy water. They took the bait easily.
Hours? Kate said when she snapped out of her lotus haze. We've been here for hours, and we still haven't gotten any closer to completing our mission?
We don't have long until Hypatia comes after us, I said, glancing out at the horizon. We have about 30 minutes until the sun sets completely.
That should be more than enough time, Kate said. All we have to do is bag up the lotus, thank the locals for their hospitality, and be on our way. They're so drugged up that they won't notice when we leave.
I glanced over at where everyone had gathered around the bonfire, in their strange mishmash of clothes from different time periods from all over the world. A nun chatted with a man in traditional Muslim garb. An ancient Egyptian shared a drink with a pirate, and the flapper laughed as she passed her cigarette to an old man in a toga. I'd never thought that people with such different backgrounds and beliefs could get along without fighting. But here they were, having the time of their lives. It would be nice if everyone in the real world could put aside their prejudices and simply enjoy each other's company, like the Lotus Eaters were doing now. And while it was sad that they'd been stuck on this island for so long, at least they were happy. I doubted most of them would be that way if they went back to the real world, where their families and cultures had been gone for decades or centuries. Then I caught sight of Ethan. He plucked two pieces of fruit from a large bowl in the center, handing one to his sister and keeping one for himself. They looked as much at home here as the others, but from what he told me about how they'd arrived on the island, they couldn't have gotten here long ago. Wait, I said, stopping the others before they could go join the group. We can't leave Ethan and Rachel here. They have to come with us. Chris's eyes bulged.
Are you crazy?
He asked.
We came here to collect the lotus fruit, not to save the locals.
But they aren't just any locals, I said. They're children of Zeus, which means they're demigods, like me. And Ethan told me that he and his sister got lost here when they were traveling on a gap year program. They're from present day. Their mom is probably at home in Australia, worried sick about them because they didn't come home. We have to take them with us. If the situation were reversed, we would want them to do the same for us.
I'm not Ethan's biggest fan, but Nicole's right,
Blake said, which took me by surprise. I thought he hated Ethan.
Since Ethan and Rachel are demigods, they can help us on our mission. Slaying the Hydra is going to make our fights against Orthrus and the Harpy look easy. We're going to need all the help we can get. We won't be able to get them to come with us, Danielle said, crossing her arms. Even if they got here within the past year or so, they've been eating the lotus for weeks or months, and we don't have any yellow energy water left. If we can't give them the energy water, we can't get the lotus out of their system. They won't want to leave. They'll refuse.
Unless we could get them to come with us willingly, I said, my mind working at a million miles per minute as I tried to figure out a solution.
Except that we don't have any energy water left. Danielle rolled her eyes. Did you not drink enough of it to clear your mind? Because you're not making any sense.
Give her a chance.
Blake glared at Danielle, and she pressed her lips together, silenced. Then he turned to me and asked,
What's your plan?
It seems like the lotus acts like a drug, I started, hoping this would make sense to them. What if I used my powers to heal Ethan and Rachel from the effects of the drug? Then they'd come with us willingly, and we'd have two demigods with us to help us on our mission.
It could work, Blake nodded. It's worth a try.
Definitely, Kate agreed. Me, Chris, Blake, and Danielle will gather as much lotus fruit as we can. It's better to have too much than not enough. Nicole, you try to heal Ethan and Rachel. Once we're all done, we'll meet back here. If it goes smoothly, we should have no problem getting back to the yacht before the sun sets.
And if it doesn't go smoothly? Danielle asked.
These people are too doped up to cause any trouble, Kate said. And the yellow energy water will keep us focused. Just make sure not to eat the lotus fruit, and we'll have no problems at all.
Chapter 24. Once we got closer to the bonfire, we split ways. The others didn't want to attract attention about how they were going to bag up the lotus fruit without eating it, and I was the only one who needed to talk to Ethan and Rachel. Right now, the twins' backs were towards me, so all I could see was their perfect blonde hair that shined under what was left of the sunlight. I took a deep breath, surprised by how nervous I was to talk to Ethan. Before kissing him, I'd only ever kissed one person, Blake. I'd felt awkward enough after that, since he'd kissed me before he'd broken up with Danielle. But at least Blake and I had had time to get to know each other first. Ethan was a complete stranger. I couldn't believe that I'd kissed a stranger. Yes, it was because of the lotus, but I'd still done it. What was I supposed to say to him now? Unfortunately, I couldn't take time to think about it, since the sun was inching closer toward the horizon every minute. If I wanted this chance to heal Ethan and Rachel, I had to suck up the awkwardness and talk to them. So I raised my chin, pulled my hair in front of my shoulders, and marched over to the log where they sat, doing my best to replicate Danielle's confident attitude. Luckily, Ethan smiled when he saw me approaching, which made me instantly relax. Hey there, I said once I'd reached him. Remember me? I was actually asking for real, since he was doped up on Lotus. I wasn't sure how much of this afternoon he remembered. It wasn't until the words were already out of my mouth that I realized how flirty they sounded.
Of course.
He moved over and patted the open spot next to him. Come sit down. I needed to be close to him to try healing him, so I sat down on the log, my leg brushing his. My breath caught, and I moved over to leave some space between us. The pull I'd felt toward Ethan when I was under the effect of the lotus was gone, but my nerves were still a jumbled mess, since there was no denying that I was sitting next to a very attractive guy. Not just any guy, a demigod, a son of Zeus, who I just kissed. But I was here for a reason, to get him and his sister back home. I had to focus on that, and not on how he was smiling at me as if seeing me made him happier than anything else in the world. After all, he was only doing that because of Lotus. It didn't actually have anything to do with me.
Have you tried the lotus fruit yet?
he asked, picking one out from the bowl and holding it out to me. It was reddish-brown and about the same size as a cherry.
If you like the water I gave you earlier, you'll love the lotus fruit. There's nothing like it.
The lotus smelled sweet, like the smoke and the water, and like the smell coming off of Ethan and all the other lotus eaters. Being so near, it made my mouth water, and I reached for it, tempted to taste it. But I couldn't risk getting stuck here forever. I had a family back home and a mission to complete. I'm not hungry right now, I said, dropping my hand down to my lap. But thanks.
Really?
He asked, his eyes wide.
I've never seen someone turn down lotus fruit before.
Rachel giggled and grabbed the fruit from his hand.
I'll take it, she said, popping it into her mouth. She closed her eyes as she chewed, as if it were the most delicious thing she'd ever tasted.
It's so good, she said, wiping some lotus juice from her chin.
Now I'll go somewhere else so the two of you can be alone.
I wanted to tell her to stay here. After all, I needed to heal her too. But she bounced away before I could call after her. And everyone around here was so relaxed that if I ran after her, it would bring unwanted attention to myself. So, for now, I would focus on healing Ethan. Afterward, we could find Rachel so I could heal her too. He popped a piece of lotus fruit in his mouth and chewed.
So,
he said, brushing his hair out of his eyes.
That dude from earlier wasn't your boyfriend, was he?
You remember that? I asked.
Yeah.
He smiled at me. That same heart-melting smile that he'd given me plenty of times while we were playing volleyball.
Of course I remember. It just happened.
Heat flooded my cheeks. Apparently the lotus fruit didn't make people as empty-headed as I thought it did. Or maybe they remembered stuff that happened on the island, but not their lives from before. He's not my boyfriend, I said, looking down and picking at my nails. Things with Blake are complicated. It's a long story.
But you came here to sit with me instead of hanging out with him, he said. That has to mean something, right?
We were running out of time, so I straightened, knowing that it was now or never. Plus, I didn't want to tell Ethan the story of my relationship with Blake, mainly because I wasn't quite sure what was going on between us myself. I came over here for a reason, I said. I want to try something.
Try what?
He asked, his eyes lighting up with curiosity. I can't tell you exactly, I said. But if it works, it'll make you happier than even the lotus can do.
No way.
He smiled and shook his head, as if what I just said was endearing.
That's impossible.
I tilted my head and smiled back at him, doing my best to act like I was still under the influence of the lotus. How can you know if you don't try? I asked.
Okay, fine, he said with a small chuckle. I'm curious. What do you want to try?
From the way he was looking at me, I thought he might try to kiss me again, right here, in front of everyone. Is that what he thought I was talking about? That I thought if he kissed me again, it would make him happier than the lotus? Realizing that it had probably sounded like that, I scooted away, making sure there were a few inches between us. His brow furrowed, but he continued to watch me, waiting. Hold your hands out, I told him, lowering my voice so it sounded like we were about to do something secret and exciting. It'll work better if you let me hold your hands.
All right,
he said, doing as I'd asked.
This sounds good to me so far.
He was watching me so intensely that it made my heart leap into my throat. Close your eyes, I said suddenly. It'll work best that way. It was a lie. I could focus better if my eyes were closed, but it didn't matter if his were closed or not. It was just that the thought of him watching me while my eyes were closed made me nervous. What if he tried to kiss me again? It could break my concentration. So technically, I wasn't lying that this would work best if he closed his eyes too. Once his eyes were closed, I took his hands, making sure my palms rested on top of his. "This should only take a minute," I said. "Keep your hands in mine, okay?"
"Not a problem."
His grip around my hands tightened, as if he never wanted to let me go. He looked so calm and trusting.
"I'm ready."
I closed my eyes, focusing on the white energy around me. I sensed it immediately, and no longer had to call it to me. It came to me as if it were drawn to me. The orbs of white filled every inch of my body, the warmth traveling through my veins, from my head to my toes. Then I allowed the energy to flow from my palms into Ethan's. Instantly, I could feel what was wrong with him. It was as if his natural energy was coated with gray sludge. I'd never felt energy that was this consistency before. Whatever the lotus fruit was doing to these people, it wasn't natural. It was like it had poisoned him. This sludge must be what was keeping Ethan and all of the others trapped on this island, frozen in time. I closed my eyes tighter, pushing my white energy through the sludge, breaking it up section by section. It took so much effort that a bead of sweat dropped down my forehead, but I let it fall, unable to move my hands away from Ethan's. Pushing the white energy through was like trying to trudge through a swamp, but I managed, piece by piece, until his energy was cleansed of the lotus. Once finished, I dropped my hands from his. My forehead felt clammy, and my entire body felt heavy, weakened by the effort it had taken to heal Ethan from the poison. After seeing what that fruit had done to him, I would never be tempted to try it again.
"What just happened?"
Ethan's voice sounded sharper, more alert.
"Where am I?"
I sat straighter and gathered the energy that I had left. I had to push through my exhaustion. We were so close to completing this part of the mission. Once we got back to the yacht, then I could sleep. For now, I needed to focus. "I can answer your questions, but you have to promise that you won't freak out," I said, leveling my gaze with his. "Can you do that?"
"Yes."
He watched me closely, his eyes clear and focused. It was like he was a completely different person from the relaxed beach bum I'd met this afternoon. "We're on an island called the Land of the Lotus Eaters," I said, speaking so softly so no one else could hear. "My friends and I are here to collect the lotus fruit for a special mission that we were sent on by the Olympian gods. I met you and your sister on the island, and once I found out that you're both demigods as well, and that you got stuck here recently, I used my healing ability to cleanse the lotus poison from your body. I just finished doing it, which is why you just came too." His jaw tightened, and he looked around at the others, who were happily chatting and dancing around the bonfire.
"I remember being on a trip to Greece with my sister," he said,
managing to remain miraculously calm given what I'd just told him.
"We rented jet skis to explore the area and took them out further than we were supposed to. We stopped at an island. We were just going to take a break before heading back. But some of the locals came over to talk to us. And that's the last thing I remember."
"You won't remember what happened on the island until you drink yellow energy water," I said. "We don't have any left. We needed it to stay focused. But come back with us to our yacht, and we'll give you some there."
"You have a yacht?" he asked, his eyes wide.
"It's not our yacht," I said. "It belongs to Hypatia, the head elder of Greece. She's letting us use it for our mission. But that's a long story, and I'll explain it all later. The others should be finished collecting the lotus fruit by now. We'll get your sister, head to our meeting spot, and then get off this island.
One more question, he said, rubbing his arms with his hands. It's colder now than I remember it being on our trip. It doesn't feel like July right now.
I looked down, unable to meet his eyes, and picked at the log I was sitting on. I'd hoped I wouldn't have to break this news to him until later.
Nicole,
he said, and I looked up, surprised that he remembered my name. What month is it now? I smiled, hating that I had to do this now. February, I said, barely able to get the word out.
In what year?
He asked. I told him, and he cursed, looking up at the sky as if he blamed Zeus for what had happened to him.
I've been gone for 2.5 years, he said. Rachel, too. Our mum must be worried sick.
We're going to get you back home, I said. I promise.
I trust you, he said. I don't remember much about you, and I'm sorry about that. But I know that I do trust you.
There's not much to remember, I said. You only met me today. But right now, we need to focus on getting your sister off this island. Your energy was extremely contaminated with the lotus. I've never seen anything like it. And it took a lot more energy to heal you than I'd anticipated. I'll be able to heal your sister after I get some rest. But I don't have enough energy left to do it right now. So we're going to have to get her back on the yacht while she's still on the lotus.
It won't be a problem,
he said confidently.
I'll tell her that we need to leave, and she'll listen to me.
I'm not sure it'll be that easy, I said. When people eat the lotus fruit, it makes them never want to leave the island.
So what are you saying we have to do?
He asked.
Drag her out of here, screaming?
I hope it doesn't come to that. I looked around at how peaceful and happy everyone was. If someone started screaming and fighting, it would rouse suspicion. That was the last thing we needed. But if it does, then yes, that's what we'll have to do.
She's over there,
he said, pointing across the bonfire. I spotted Rachel surrounded by a group of children, who were laughing as she threw lotus fruit at them, and they tried to catch it in their mouths. She might be more willing to come with us if you tell her it's part of a game, I said. Don't tell her that we're leaving the island. Just tell her that you found something super cool that you want to show her. But that she has to be quiet because it's a secret.
Good idea, he said. Let's go get her.
But right when we stood up, a booming voice echoed across the entire area, and we froze in place.
What do you think you're doing?
A huge man in a toga stood up and snarled at Kate. She hid a bag full of lotus fruit behind her back, but it was too late. Everyone had already paused what they were doing and had seen it. The laughing and chattering had stopped completely. Now, their mouths were dropped open, horrified, as if they'd just witnessed a murder.
Nothing.
Kate looked at the ground, her voice shaking.
Show me what's in your hand,
he said, slamming his wooden pole into the ground. She did as he said, and he stared at the bag full of lotus fruit, his face twisted with anger.
Where do you think you're going with that?
He asked.
Nowhere, she said. I was just keeping it so I could have some more tonight. It's so delicious that I wanted to make sure I had enough.
The others in our group surrounded her now, their backpacks full as well. Danielle's hand drifted to the hilt of the sword, hidden beneath her clothes, and Blake reached for his lighter.
Edith?
The man in the toga called, and the flapper lady, who had blown lotus smoke in my face, stepped to his side.
Is she telling the truth?
No.
Edith shook her head, her bobbed hair hitting her chin.
She isn't.
Edith is a demigod. daughter of Aletheia,
the man explained.
Aletheia is the goddess of truth. So Edith here can sense when someone is lying, and she's always right. We were so lucky when she found us recently.
Judging by Edith's clothes, she must have gotten to the island 100 years ago. But I supposed, given how some of them seem to have gotten here over 1,000 years ago, that their sense of time was extremely warped.
We weren't doing anything wrong, Kate said, holding her hands up. I promise. Except that you were. Edith smiled sweetly, but her eyes were anything but kind. Because no one is allowed to leave the island with the lotus fruit in their possession.
The man tightened his grip on his wooden pole and said,
At least, they're not allowed to leave while still alive.
Chapter 25. The Lotus Eater's eyes, which moments ago had been glazed over and hazy, were now sharp and livid. They stood up and clenched their fists, hissing with what appeared to be the intent to fight. Not wanting to bring attention to myself, I could help my friends more if I wasn't being targeted. I stood up with everyone else, but my mind was spinning. The Lotus Eaters were supposed to be lazy and spaced out. Why had no one warned us that they would go crazy if they realized we were trying to take the lotus fruit off the island? If we'd known, we would have taken more precautions than one weapon each. I glanced over at Ethan, who at least had the wits to follow my lead and stand up as well. But he appeared as surprised as I felt. I slowly stepped closer to him, careful not to make any sudden movements. This is going to be a problem, I whispered. We need the lotus fruit.
Then we're going to have to fight them for it,
he said.
You're all demigods, right?
Only me, I told him. But the others are just as powerful, or more so. Doubt crossed his eyes, but he nodded, his jaw hard with resolve. The big man in the toga picked up his stick and swung it at Kate, but Blake raised his hands and the bonfire exploded, covering Toga Man and the nearby Lotus Eaters in flames. They screamed and jumped around, running to the ocean to extinguish themselves. A few of them didn't make it, and they collapsed into wailing, burning blobs on the beach. Then a gust of wind rushed through the beach, knocking most of the Lotus Eaters onto the ground. That's our cue, I said to Ethan. We're going to hold them off. Grab your sister and follow us back to the yacht. And hurry. I ran to join the others, but a pair of hands reached for me out of nowhere, pulling me to the ground. My bow was squished between my body and the sand, impossible to reach. I tried to push against whoever was holding me down, but there were two of them. One was holding me by the neck, the other pinning down my legs. They were so much stronger than I was that struggling was futile.
We have you now, girl.
The man clawing my neck hissed in my ear. His breath was sickly sweet with lotus, and he tightened his grip around my neck so that I couldn't breathe.
This is what you get for trying to take the lotus off the island. Stop struggling, and this will be nice and easy.
My lungs screamed for air, and I tried desperately to suck in a breath, but it was impossible. I dug my nails into his hands, trying to pry them off me. But he just cackled, his eyes wide and manic as he suffocated me. A haze danced over my eyes, and all I could see was his rotted, blackened teeth hovering over me as my vision started to dim. This was it. He was going to kill me. So without the physical strength to stop him, I did the only thing that I could do. I thought about all the hate I currently felt for this man. The man who was laughing as he strangled me. And I pulled as much black energy as I could into my body. I was already drained from healing Ethan, so once I'd gathered as much as I could manage, I reached up and touched the man's face, pushing the black energy straight into his soul. His eyes went blank, and he dropped to the ground, dead. I didn't have to check.
I just knew. I sucked in a long breath, feeling the sweet burn as it filled my lungs. I'd never been so grateful for something as simple as breathing. My hands rushed to my neck, to the swollen skin where the man had choked me. It was going to bruise, but I couldn't expend the energy on healing it right now. That would have to wait until later. The man holding down my feet stared at his friend, his mouth dropped open.
What the?
He said, looking at me in shock.
What did you do to him?
I sat up and looked him in the eye. Judging from his garb, he and his friend had both been pirates before landing on the island. And from the murderous glint in his eyes, I could tell that he wouldn't hesitate to kill me either. Nothing that you have to worry about, I said, grabbing an arrow from my quiver at the same time as he lunged for me. He barely had time to realize what was happening before it pierced through his skull. The life drained from his eyes, and I pulled out the arrow, letting his body collapse on the ground. Then I stuck the arrow back in my quiver. After all, there was no need to lose a perfectly good arrow. I stood up and brushed the sand off my clothes, surveying the damage. More people were ablaze, wailing and screaming as they tried to run for the ocean. Danielle held her sword in front of her, swinging it at anyone who got in her way. Kids squirmed in the trees, vines wrapped around their wrists. I recognized the girl, Marion, who had greeted us when we'd arrived. Her eyes were raging mad, like the other lotus eaters, and she struggled against the vine to free herself. But she and the other kids appeared unharmed. Thanks to Kate's quick thinking, they would be fine once we were off the island and they returned to their normal, peaceful selves. Ethan ran towards me, carrying Rachel in his arms. She tried to attack me, so I had to knock her out, he said. I hated doing it, but I had to. It was your only choice, I told him, and he nodded in affirmation. But the others can't hold the Lotus Eaters off forever. Come on, we have to go. We ran for the others, and relief washed over Blake's eyes when he saw me. He ran to me and pulled me in a huge hug, holding me so tightly that I thought he would never let go. You're okay, he murmured in my ear. You have no idea how worried I was. Of course I'm okay, I said lightly, as if it should be obvious that I could defend myself, even though that man had been moments away from strangling me to death. I pulled back to look into his eyes, my breath catching as I saw how he was looking at me. As if I meant more to him than anything else in the world. We can't hold them off much longer, Danielle yelled, ending the moment between me and Blake. Come on, we have to get back to the yacht. Chris held his hands out, and a gust of wind rushed across the beach, pushing all the Lotus Eaters back towards the woods.
That's all the energy I've got, he said. Let's go.
We ran back the way we came, with Kate and Blake at the tail, shooting at anyone who got too close.
Everyone get on the dinghy, Danielle said once the raft was in sight.
We followed her instructions, jumping in without a second thought. Ethan laid Rachel down in the front. Since we were two more people than when we began, the fit was tight, but we all made it. A few of the Lotus Eaters got closer, but Kate, Blake, and I were able to hold them off. We were careful to hit in places that weren't fatal, like their legs, since we didn't really want to kill these people. It wasn't their fault that they were trapped here, under the spell of the Lotus. We just wanted to get off the island with the bags of lotus fruit that we'd collected.
I'm going to count to three, Danielle said. Brace yourselves.
She started the count off, and I gripped the side of the dinghy, planting my feet firm on the floor. Once she reached three, the water around us swelled into a huge wave. It lifted us up and moved away from the shore, so we rode the crest toward the yacht. We arrived in seconds, just as the last sliver of the sun sunk below the horizon.
I was just about to go after you all,
Hypatia peered down from the railing, her mouth dropping open when she saw us. I looked around at the others, who had ripped clothes and were covered in soot and dirt, and I couldn't imagine what she was thinking. I imagined that I appeared to be in a similar state as well. Panic crossed Hypatia's eyes when she noticed the two additions to our group, but she pressed her lips together as if holding back her thoughts.
You all look like you've been to Hades and back, she finally said. Let's get you on board and cleaned up, and then you can fill me in on what happened on that island.
Chapter 26. We all got showered and changed, and met back with Hypatia in the living room area of the yacht. We were all there except for Rachel, who we'd had to lock inside one of the staff rooms. She'd been given yellow energy water and had stopped trying to attack us. But since she'd been eating the lotus for over a year, she was still doped up on it and begging for more. She needed me to heal her to clear it from her body, but I wouldn't be able to do that until tomorrow, when my energy would be replenished. For now, she had to stay locked up, so she wouldn't try to attack us or eat the stash of the lotus fruit that we'd taken from the island. It didn't take long to catch Hypatia up on everything that had happened to us in the land of the Lotus Eaters. We each took turns telling different parts of the story. Of course, I left out the part where I killed the pirate with black energy. I said that I attacked both pirates with my arrows. No one could ever know the truth about what had really happened.
You could have warned us that the Lotus Eaters turned murderous if anyone tried to take the fruit off the island, Blake said. Then we could have been prepared.
I'm sorry, Hypatia said, shaking her head.
I didn't know. No one who's landed on the land of the Lotus Eaters has ever returned.
Except for Odysseus and his men, Kate pointed out, patting her copy of the Odyssey that she'd laid out on the table.
But Odysseus and his men didn't try to take the lotus fruit with them, Danielle said. So the Lotus Eaters didn't turn psychotic on them.
Those people were pretty determined to kill us, Chris added. If we didn't have our powers and our weapons, and if we hadn't been training to fight, well, we wouldn't have stood a chance.
The gods wouldn't have sent you on this mission if you didn't have a chance of succeeding, Hypatia said confidently.
So you're saying that we have nothing to worry about? Chris asked. We'll make it out of this, even the part where we have to fight the Hydra, and be fine?
Unfortunately, I can't promise that, she said, her expression grim. Just that you have a chance. It's up to you to make the most of that chance.
Dread settled in my stomach at the reminder that this mission put our lives at risk. How was it that 2 months ago, I was living in Georgia, and my biggest worry was if I could lead our high school tennis team to victory in the state regionals. Sometimes, none of what had happened to me these past few weeks felt real. Was I crazy, going on such an insane mission, knowing that it might not end well for us? Perhaps. Then again, if we didn't try, the portal to Kerberos would open, and the Titans would unleash their wrath upon all humanity.
So we didn't have much of a choice.
We had to do this, and we had to succeed.
The good news is that you were successful in acquiring the lotus fruit, so 1/3 of your mission is complete, Hypatia said with a tight smile. Then she turned to Ethan and added,
I'll speak to the head elder of Australia as soon as possible to get her up to date on what's going on. Once Nicole heals your sister, I'll open a portal for the two of you to return home. I'm sure your mother will be relieved to discover you're alive.
Thank you,
Ethan said, although he didn't look as happy as I'd imagined he would at the prospect of returning home.
But since Nicole risked her life to save my sister and me from the island, we want to return the favor by staying here and helping her and the others complete their mission. Once the mission is complete, then we'll return home.
You don't have to do that, I said.
even though the possibility of them helping was what had convinced the others to take them off the island in the first place. Ethan and his sister had been gone for 2.5 years. I wouldn't blame them if they wanted to go home immediately.
I know we don't have to.
He held up a hand to stop me from arguing any further, his eyes hard with determination.
I want to. It's the least I can do to thank you.
If you hadn't saved us, my sister and I would have been trapped on that island until the end of time.
Helping you with your mission is the least we can do in return.
Thank you, I said, my voice cracking with how much I meant it. We won't let any harm come to you or your sister. After our mission is complete, the two of you will be returned safely home. I promise. It was a huge promise to make, but I flexed my fists, determined to follow through with it. After all, I had the power to heal. If anyone could promise safety, it was me.
I appreciate it,
Ethan said, his eyes only on me.
My sister appreciates it as well, even if she can't say so right now. We'll do everything we can to help. Good,
Blake said to Ethan, his jaw tight.
Now, let's get you up to speed on the plan, because the fight we just had with the Lotus Eaters will be nothing compared to what's coming with the Hydra.
Chapter 27. I was able to heal Rachel after dinner, and due to all the energy I'd used that day, I fell asleep pretty soon afterward. But because I'd gone to bed so early, and because I'd always risen with the sun, I found myself wide awake before everyone else the next morning. Not wanting to disturb Kate and Danielle, who were still sleeping soundly, I went up to the main deck to see if anyone else was awake. The only person there was the chef, who was busy in the kitchen. He was a heavy-set older man, and from what I'd seen of him so far, he absolutely loved his job. He looked up, smiling when he saw me.
Awake so early?
He asked.
Breakfast isn't for another hour.
I know, I said, but I couldn't fall back asleep, and I didn't want to wake my roommates, so I figured I would come up here.
Can I get you anything?
He asked.
Tea? Coffee?
Tea would be great, I said. Thanks. Once my tea was ready, I thanked him and took it out to the picnic table on the front deck. I didn't want to disturb Chef while he was cooking, and after the craziness of yesterday, I relished the time to myself. This time of day, early morning, when the birds were starting to chirp and the sun was preparing to rise, was always so peaceful. I loved being awake when the rest of the world was still asleep. For the first time since arriving here, I was also able to look around and appreciate the fact that I was in Greece. It was still dark, and there wasn't much to see right now, mostly the sea, and a few small islands that appeared deserted. But I was here, in a different country, for the first time in my life. Even though this mission was top secret, and I could never tell anyone else about it, it was amazing to sit back for the first time since I'd arrived and appreciate where I was. After about 20 minutes alone, the door leading out to the deck opened. I turned around, my breath catching when I saw Blake walking toward me. He was also holding a hot drink, and as he got closer, I could smell that it was coffee. His eyes were bleary, with circles under them. Apparently, he needed the caffeine. From the way he trudged along the dock, I doubted he was a morning person. I sat there, frozen with my mug of tea in my hand, unsure what to say. I hated the thought that Blake might be upset with me for what had happened with Ethan, so much so that seeing him made my lungs tight with worry. If he'd come out here to take back everything he told me last week about wanting to give it a chance between us, I wouldn't be able to blame him. Hi, I eventually said, since I had to say something. Why are you awake?
Chris's snoring kept me up all night, he said,
running his hand through his already mussed-up hair.
Eventually, I gave up trying to sleep. And I was hungry, so I came up here to grab some food. Chef told me you were out here. You don't mind if I join you, right?
No, I said, scooting over to make room. Even though Blake's being here broke my pact not to be alone with him, I was relieved that he still wanted to be around me after seeing me with Ethan. Knowing that I might have his forgiveness made breaking the pact worth it. Of course not.
Good,
he smiled, his eyes alert for the first time this morning. He joined me on the bench, his arm brushing